855-915-9636. And that's right, I said Derek Gary. I did not say Lisa Nichols, because Lisa Nichols is on assignment in Maine. By on assignment, I mean she is in Maine with her boyfriend.
She's in Maine. Roughing it.
So, filling in for the absent Lisa Nichols, we have Joel from On the Town with Mikey D.
Glad to be here.
And we have our old friend Mariel Cabal.
Hi.
And we have an election special tonight. We are going to be talking about next Tuesday. This is our last show before the longest election in human history. The most dispiriting election anybody in this room can remember.
Started 4 years ago.
Yes, started 4 years ago. And not only are we going to be talking about the presidential race in the news segment tonight, but we're also going to be talking about the ballot questions and going in depth tonight on the four questions on the Massachusetts ballot so that you can know what it is that you're voting for before you walk in. Yes, for or against. Unlike my wife, who already cast the early ballot and got some issues with her voting.
Just gonna say,
one of the questions didn't like.
She was against the free range chickens.
No, it wasn't the free range chickens. It was another ballot question, and I'm like, really? You voted in favor of that? Do you even know what that is?
Gaming.
Can't say what it is because that.
Charter schools?
Quirk of our FCC license is we can't actually endorse anything or come out too strongly as advocates of anything here.
The condom requirement in pornographic films?
Yes. So the FCC, she did vote in favor of that, which I am absolutely opposed to.
I thought that was already a law.
Yeah, no. Only in California.
Okay. Well, that's where all the porn is.
Yes. So anyway, we're going to start as we usually do with the news. And everything, the news tonight is also going to be very heavily shaded over toward the election because that's what's going on right now. In local news, Hillary Clinton and Boston Mayor Marty Walsh are among the politicians who have given back contributions from the Thornton Law Firm. A report from the Boston Globe Spotlight team and the Center for Responsive Politics found that contributions made by Thornton Law Firm were repaid to employees in the form of bonuses that matched their donations, a potential violation of campaign finance law. Attorney General Mara Healey and State Treasurer Deb Goldberg have also agreed to give back Thornton donations, while U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren said she'll hold on to her cash, approximately $130,000, unless investigators find out it was illegal.
Ooh.
Not a good look, Senator Elizabeth Warren, champion of the little guy.
Yeah, that's not cool.
I'm just going to help myself to that $130,000. So
she's just hanging on to it.
She's going to buy a pickup truck.
Yeah. So this is sort of an interesting investigation from the Globe Spotlight team. Apparently, this sort of thing is not confined to the Thornton Law Firm, and they're taking a bigger look at large contributors and in particular law firms, because apparently this sort of quid pro quo has been going on. And the way it works is the law firm basically tells you, go give $10,000 to Hillary Clinton. And then at the end of the year, you get a $10,000 bonus.
I see. Now, is this strictly given to one party, or do both parties do this?
This has mostly been Democrats who benefited from this one, but that's not to say that this is strictly a partisan practice. By any stretch, I'm not gonna put that out there. I'm not gonna say that's what's going on here. But in this particular case, it looks pretty cut and dry that there's a little malfeasance going on here. And what it does is it gives them an end run around campaign contribution limits. Because if you run a business, I think $27,000 is the most you're allowed to give. It's somewhere in there. But if you're a personal contributor, well, you can just throw money at these guys all day long.
I don't know how lawyers can convolute anything, argue in favor of anything. I have no idea how they thought this was legal.
Well, lawyers figure out a way to make it legal.
Yeah. But, is this really the way we want financing to run? I have the same problem with the Koch brothers. I have the same problem with George Soros. There is too much money floating around.
Absolutely.
In these elections coming from too few sources.
How many millions of dollars were spent on the last election and the needle didn't move at all?
But this time it might.
It might, but it looks like it hasn't. I mean, look at the disapproval ratings for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, for example, are both equal at around 59%.
We're going to get to that in a minute, actually, because those numbers have changed. Those numbers have changed. We'll get to that in a minute. But it seems to me to be a very, very strong argument in favor of campaign finance reform. Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things that really bugs me, Maggie Hassan up in New Hampshire is one of the beneficiaries of these Thornton Law Firm distributions. Now, I get it. If you want to give money to the president, if you want to give money to the senator, if you want to give money to the state AG, if you want to give money to the mayor of Boston, it's a business expense at the end of the day because you're trying to get cases.
Right.
Why are you giving money? And it's not just Maggie Hassan, by the way. They donated to Democratic senatorial campaigns all across the country. And the thing that really gets me is the out-of-state money floating into state elections. I don't want to see a penny of out-of-state money going into a Massachusetts Senate race. And by the same breath, I don't want to see Massachusetts money going to prop up Maggie Hassan.
But also, there was, when they were passing legislation on gay marriage, there were a whole bunch of religious groups outside of California that were trying to overturn the legalizing gay marriage in California.
And I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with Michael Bloomberg throwing tons of money at elections in Colorado trying to get guns banned. You know, we have 50 states and 50 state governments for a reason. You need to think of the states as little sovereign nations unto themselves. And you need to keep the money in the politics stopped at the state border. In much the same way that Donald Trump wants to build a wall to keep the people from coming from Mexico to the United States. We need walls that say, no, no, your political donations can't go to this state.
At the same time, people can make an argument that commerce flows. The money flows across the country. You know, I agree with you.
If FEMA gives money to a place that's been hit with a storm, that money is also coming from mm-hmm. other places. It's not all coming from Louisiana when something happens in Louisiana. It's not all coming from Florida when something happens in Florida. Some of that money is being redirected from other states. So there needs to be more of a clear delineation about what powers the state has versus what power the federal government
but
has.
But do we want one group of rich people or one rich person controlling our local elections? I mean, that's where you can make the biggest difference.
This is what's happening.
I know.
This is what's happening.
And this is because the courts overturned Citizens United in the Supreme Court 3 years ago.
Yeah. I'm involved in a school board race in Minnesota where I am, working on behalf of a candidate, and his opponent is supported by an out-of-state billionaire.
But this you're supporting a candidate from Minnesota and you're from Massachusetts.
Contract.
I'm a hired vendor. In that case, they needed somebody to manage their online campaign. They hire me.
Right.
Okay. I'm not giving them any money. I'm not contributing to the campaign. We're being paid for our services, So my only involvement is as a marketing professional to help them get their message across. But this is a school board race. You have an out-of-state billionaire throwing money into this race. Why? Nobody's throwing money at a political candidate just because they believe in the candidate. Just because they think Joe's a good guy. If there is out-of-state money flowing into an election, particularly from the rich, someone is trying to get something in exchange for that.
I mean, yeah, you think?
They either want legislation passed or they want business steered to certain companies. Right. We have to put a stop to this. And we're going to get into all the bitter partisanship that's going on, not amongst the three of us. And
we hope not.
No, because I mean, just to set the table, we have a liberal, a different kind of liberal, and a moderate, and the crazy gun lady is up in Maine tonight. So
shooting up some stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if they got the guns out. They're up in Maine. You can do that. But part of this, I think, part of the helplessness that people feel when they think about voting and they look at elections and they see all of this out of state money pouring in. They just say to themselves, what good is my vote against that?
It definitely disenfranchises a whole section of voters that way.
Yeah. And that's partly the point. And it's something I'd like to stop. Nationally, a Washington Post tracking poll released today found that voters, Joel, this is to your point, found that voters believe Donald Trump is more honest and trustworthy than Hillary Clinton. In the poll, 46% saw Trump as honest, but only 38% said the same about Clinton. Only 26% of independents see Clinton as more trustworthy than Trump, and her lead among Democrats fell by 10 points from September to 76%. The poll shows the impact of new revelations about the possible mishandling of government secrets after FBI Director James Comey informed Congress that it would investigate possible classified emails found on a laptop belonging to Anthony Weiner, the estranged husband of Clinton aide Huma Abedin, as part of a probe into sexually charged messages Weiner is accused of sending to a 15-year-old girl.
Probe.
There's a lot to unpack here.
There's quite a bit.
A lot has happened since last week, since last we talked.
And a lot hasn't happened since last we talked. Because
okay, so Anthony Weiner has been sexting state secrets to 16-year-old girls. That's the
classified state secrets.
I believe there are Americans who think that's the
Absolutely.
Story.
Anthony Weiner was sexting during the whole Benghazi thing.
Yes. Anthony Weiner sexted State Department secrets to a 15-year-old, and it's Hillary's fault.
And
I think there are Americans who believe that.
The nickname Crooked Hillary is actually applies to Anthony as well. So,
in fact, Crooked Hillary has now been added to Webster's Dictionary.
let's see if we can unpack this one piece at a time, and let's leave Anthony Weiner out of it, because honestly, I know it's the most entertaining part of the story.
But
I know it's the most entertaining part of this, but it's not. It's the least relevant part
yes,
of the story.
You're right.
He checked himself into a sex rehab today, by the way.
Oh, my God. Again?
Yes.
What, does he want a cookie? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even know how sex rehab works. I don't think I want to know how it works.
I have
a feeling it involves a battery being hooked up to your testicles and pornography.
It usually does.
You know, I
just like Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, that's just my view of what it is. But let's start, first of all, with James Comey.
Yeah. I got a huge question about that.
Okay.
So Friday, he lays this bombshell on Congress and the Senate, saying that there are other emails that he has discovered on Anthony Weiner's laptop that might have been used by his estranged wife, who is a top aide to Hillary Clinton. Am I getting the finer points right?
Yes.
Okay. Friday. Today is Wednesday. We still have absolutely no conceivable clue as to what these emails are, what they entail, whether they have any bearing whatsoever. Wouldn't one think that in an election season, with the election, just 6 days away, that we might have this information by now? I mean, is the FBI that inefficient?
From what I've been able to gather, and none of this... This is what I've read. None of this has been verified by anybody. You have people talking on background to the press. They have the laptop, and they grabbed the laptop because they were looking for child pornography.
Of course they were.
Okay. In the process of looking for that, they stumble across Huma Abedin's Yahoo email account, which apparently is open on the laptop. And they find somewhere on the order of 630,000 emails in there. Among those 630,000 emails are emails from the State Department because, according to one source, Huma couldn't get the printer at the State Department to work, so she would email things to herself and then print them out at home. Now, you don't need to be a rocket scientist or well-versed in IT or national security to know that you don't put classified information in a Yahoo account.
I would think not.
That's sort of the core of this whole thing. None of this actually involves Hillary Clinton.
So even if this were true, and Huma was printing up some secret documents that she got off of her Yahoo account, this still has absolutely zero to do with Hillary Clinton.
It has zero to do with Hillary Clinton. This is strictly Huma Abedin's mistake, which is why she's disappeared from the campaign trail. However, before I get to the point I want to make, Marielle is not a fan of James Comey right now.
No, I am not.
And why are you not a fan of James Comey right
now? Well, he's making women look bad, like we don't know how to use technology.
No, Huma Abedin is doing that, actually.
No, I'm not a fan of him. It's the October surprise. The timing is awfully suspicious Were you going to say something else?
Do you think it's politically motivated on his part?
It seems politically motivated.
Joel?
I can't see how anybody could think it's not politically motivated.
Here's my question. If it is politically motivated, then what did James Comey find out about Hillary Clinton that made him change his mind?
Who's to say he has changed his mind?
He has. If he's sticking his neck out this far on this thing, he's changed his mind. He learned something somewhere from somebody that's made him reconsider his position.
Well, then he's duty-bound to report it, not keep it secret for, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 days.
But according to everybody involved, he's duty-bound not to report it until after the election. I mean, this is part of the debate that everyone's having right now, is should the FBI even be investigating her at this point?
Well, that's just like saying, hey, I've got this great plan to save America and to make everything okay. But I'm not going to tell you now, even though it might compromise our national security for me to keep this all a secret and under wraps. I'll let you know the day after I'm elected. So it just reeks of political opportunism.
But he's not a political guy.
He doesn't have to be. I mean, the political opportunism isn't just being a political guy. It's being offered perks. It's being offered this and that to keep your mouth quiet or to do exactly what he's doing. Maybe somebody put him up to doing this.
That's a possibility. That's something I consider.
Got such backlash back in, July now?
Right.
Back in July, he said that no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute Hillary Clinton based on these emails.
And you know what? I tend to agree with him on that. If we set aside the idea that Hillary Clinton was up to some sort of nefarious business in hiding her emails, she set up her own server. Let's take it at face value. She set up her own server for convenience.
Her husband set that up before she was in the State Department after he left the White House. And that's the server that she used for her emails as well.
Well, it's because women can't set up their own servers.
Well, you got to get your husband to do it for you.
Absolutely.
And then he spends 4 hours.
I get my wife to set up all my computer stuff because I'm as computer illiterate as they come.
Anyway, let's assume that she set it up for convenience. And, you know, whether or not she did it with the blessing of anybody in the State Department or who knew what in the State Department, let's assume that she did it for personal convenience.
Yeah.
It was a mistake. Okay.
Yes.
And it was a mistake that...
And everybody has conceded that at this point.
Yes. But it was a mistake that the Clintons made, not James Comey. And one of the things we do on this show is we go back to that zero moment. Who made the decision that set all of this chain of events in motion? And it's not James Comey. It's not the FBI. It's not the Justice Department. It is Hillary Clinton. Well, Hillary Clinton never uses this server, we never get to this point. We're never talking about this October surprise.
Are you sure about that? Because I think we'd still be talking about Benghazi at the very least.
We'd be talking about pay to play at the Clinton Foundation.
Well, there is that too.
And if we want to get into the whole sort of politics of it, my feeling on it, especially in the last few weeks, has been that the Clinton campaign loves the email issue. They absolutely adore the email issue because the American people have decided they don't care. And James Comey has basically given her a pass on it. So as long as everybody's talking about the emails, nobody's talking about what was going on at the Clinton Foundation.
Well, I strongly disagree. I mean, Trump is still talking about the Clinton Foundation on the campaign trail.
Yeah, but people only listen to him when he says kill the reporters or throw the Mexicans out.
And nobody's talking about what's going on at the Trump Foundation, which in my opinion is far worse.
The appearance
of impropriety. Interesting
that nobody's talking about the Trump Foundation.
I mean, if you let your foundation pay for a portrait of yourself and hang it in one of your hotels.
Where's my portrait?
The Clinton Foundation is doing the same thing. And yes,
where's her portrait?
That is all extremely sketchy. And it's one of those things that rich people do to hide money. It's a good tax shelter. Both the Clinton Foundation and the Trump Foundation exist on some level to do that.
Yes, but you know, at the same token, I do feel that the Clintons have been far more transparent about where the money raised by the Clinton Foundation goes.
Agreed, and the foundation is much more professional.
And whether you agree or disagree with that, Derek, let me just back up a second. Whether you agree or disagree, Donald Trump has not at all been very forthcoming about what his foundation actually does.
This is true. And you can bring up the issue of Donald Trump not releasing his taxes, and that is a problem.
I haven't gone there because, you know what? As much as some people don't care about Hillary's emails, I actually don't care about Trump's tax returns. If you're running to be the leader of the free world, there's a certain kind of statesmanlike quality that goes along with running for that office, which to which Donald has displayed absolutely none. Mm. None at all. And just from watching his speeches alone kind of negates my ability to care about what his foundation does or what Clinton's foundation does, or he's just completely out of the realm of reasonable as a human being running for office.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, that's an opinion, yeah. For sure. But
I mean, I will say this about Donald Trump. He engages in a tremendous amount of brinksmanship.
A little bit.
And he engages in a tremendous amount of self-aggrandizement.
Just a tad.
And one of the things, it's not the content of what he says.
It's the content of his character, Derek.
Because I don't think that reflects his character any more than the things that Louis Farrakhan says necessarily reflect his character.
Well, Louis Farrakhan isn't running for president.
No, but Louis Farrakhan is a guy that gets thrown under the bus all the time. Did you hear what he said this time and what he said that time? And it's like, yes, Louis Farrakhan is trying to make a point. This is his way of doing it.
And that's exactly what Trump has been doing since the late 80s, as far as I can remember.
You're correct. And the issue, to me, isn't the specifics of what he says. It's that this is his negotiating style.
Yes.
And we have never had an American president who engaged in that level of brinksmanship. It is foreign to us. It is something that the North Koreans do.
Because it's the opposite of being diplomatic, which you do need to do.
It flies in the face of what America stands for.
Absolutely.
But
this is a country built on compromise.
Considering that we are in a world with North Korea, considering that we were in a world with Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines, considering that we're in a world with Vladimir Putin.
None of which are running for president of the United States.
No, those are the leaders that we have to work with.
Yes.
And these are all brinksmanship personalities.
So you're saying that we should sink to that level to get along with these people?
I'm saying that...
Yeah, who's going to get along with Angela Merkel?
I'm saying that Angela Merkel engages in a fair bit of brinksmanship on her own. She's much quieter about it, but make note, she's not a walk-softly diplomat.
There's brinksmanship, and then there's riding around shirtless on a horse brinksmanship.
Right. Yeah, you know? I know. I mean, we're talking about...
I don't think Angela Merkel is gonna, and Hillary Clinton's not going to do that either.
Somebody published topless photos of Merkel, and nobody looked at them online. That's how bad it was.
Anthony Weiner.
Not even Anthony Weiner. No, it was too much for him. It's like Rosie O'Donnell. Nobody wants to see it.
I do.
If you look at World War II... And this thought has been going through my head quite a bit in the last year or so. If you look at World War II and you look at Churchill, FDR, Stalin, Mussolini, De Gaulle, the people who were Ito, the people who were calling the shots were all cast out of a very similar mold.
Or a specific mold, anyway.
And they all had very similar personality types. And I wonder if, and of course, Hitler's in the middle of this as well. And I wonder if...
The only vegetarian.
The rise of one of those personality types doesn't start to push voters to look for someone similar. So where we keep hearing about Putin and his brinksmanship, we keep hearing about North Korea and their brinksmanship. And we look at them and we say, those are potential threats. And we hear about China. We have no idea what China's doing other than we know they're stealing our stuff. Some voters are going to look at Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and they're going to say, you know what? Donald Trump can stand up to these people. I don't think Hillary can. And all of this saber rattling that he does, even though it is totally foreign to us as a quality in a United States president, suddenly becomes attractive.
Maybe to some. I mean, when I look at Putin and Kim Jong-un and all these other, you know, kind of leaders that lead with a certain amount of narcissistic bravado, I thank God that we don't have anybody like that running our country.
Oh, come on. You would love to have Putin.
Absolutely not.
You would love to have someone like Justin Trudeau walking around shirtless being like, I am your leader and I am sexy.
Let's be honest. Yeah, Putin has some pretty nice shirtless photos.
He does, but that doesn't mean I would vote for him.
Obama.
Yeah, you know, Obama's not a bad looking guy. I won't lie.
He's a little scrawny.
And he's a science geek.
He's a little scrawny. Yeah.
But I mean, he loves science. He loves families. Yeah. He loves children.
Nerd.
You know, Donald Trump doesn't seem to love anything but himself and his hair.
That's not true. He loves women.
He loves to grab women.
Yeah. He loves to grab. Okay. You know. Well, I'm talking about love as in honor and cherish. Not love as in you know,
money.
Grabbing him by
he
the you know what.
Winning.
But then
he loves the word huge.
But then you got the whole one of the things that sticks out for me about Trump, and I'm not here to defend the guy, but you look at Ivanka, okay. And most people are going to look at Ivanka and be like, that's a smart, capable, self-confident, take-no-crap kind of woman. How does that guy, that womanizer, raise that daughter?
Expense account.
Yeah. No, but I mean...
Did he raise her, or was she raised by her mother, or possibly by the help?
She was raised by both of them.
I mean, you know the Trump kids have all kind of come out and said that, you know, daddy wasn't always there, but but
especially Tiffany, I think,
you know, expense account. Hello.
Yeah. But daddy was there enough, and there were expectations, and these kids, you know, these kids were raised to be a certain way.
He was there to give them the gold card to go to Paris and buy themselves something nice.
I mean, he keeps his boys a flush and hair gel. I can tell that much.
But most of the kids that you see that grow up in that situation wind up crashing their Ferraris into a telephone pole or turning into Martin Shkreli, or, you know, although he's a poor kid.
We don't know about that, but I mean, I have definitely seen the pictures of the boys hunting and killing big, wild, extinct animals.
Oh, sure.
Every time I see Ivanka speak, I see in her eyes, I just feel that she knows who her father really is, but she just supports him
because she can't say his father. Yeah.
And every child probably has had a moment like that where even when you're just at the dinner table and you're just like,
even Luke Skywalker thought that Darth Vader had some good in him.
That by the way, is how the co-hosts look at me on this show. Is that look in their eyes? It's like, yeah, there it is.
I remember when you were a liberal.
There he goes again. I was never a liberal.
I remember when you were voting pro-Trump.
It is WMFO Medford.
He's hopped off that wagon, I think.
Also in national news, Americans firmly believe in media bias. A poll released on Friday by Suffolk University and USA Today asked, and I quote, "Who do you think the media, including major newspapers and TV stations, would like to see elected president, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump?" 1,000 adults were surveyed, and 75.9% said Clinton, while just 7.9% said Trump. A poll conducted by Associated Press last week found that 87% of Trump supporters and 57% of all likely voters believe the media is biased against Trump. In that poll, 51% of Clinton supporters said the media is biased in her favor. Not a good look for our friends.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's always been said that, you know, people that are well-educated, that do the research, that are interested in the facts tend to vote Democrat. And, you know,
who says that? The media.
Yeah, the media. Okay, fine. But still, there is a little bit of truth to that, because like, it seems to me that the only people that are like on the side of telling the truth, telling it like it is, we report, you decide, seems to make up a whole lot of junk that just isn't.
But this isn't, keep in mind, this isn't Fox News viewers they surveyed Americans in general.
I get it.
And Americans in general believe the media is in the tank for Hillary Clinton. And the media has certainly done things, other than Fox, to give people that impression. You know, you don't get a majority of Americans agreeing on something unless they are exposed to a certain amount of evidence that persuades them.
Well, I think the evidence is largely circumstantial. You know, I mean, the media is going to go, first of all.
So you don't see the bias?
I don't see as much bias as you see. Let's put it that way. I mean, there are certain things that you kind of filter through. know, when I watch the debates, for example, I didn't bother watching it on CNN or MSNBC or Fox because I knew that, you know, CNN was going to be more or less pro-Clinton. Right. MSNBC was going to be horrifically anti-Trump.
Yes.
And Fox News was going to show the Miss Universe pageant. So I watch C-SPAN because you get that without the filter.
Right. And then just get the debate, then you can go home.
Well, even better, when they were doing the conventions, you got to see all the people, all the little people giving their speeches. So you got to see a lot of really either awesome stuff that you don't get to see on the networks, or the really horrible, heinous, racist stuff that you don't get to see on the networks because they don't want to see their candidate to appear tainted by what's going on. So I believe there's bias, I don't believe that it's strongly slanted one way or another. You always have to have an angle to tell your story, and you're going to fit the facts to that story that you want to tell. No matter what side you're on.
That's not quite the job, though. I mean, the job is to be objective. Marielle?
I just feel like the gut feeling of the American people is that the media has a liberal bias, but who is putting that out there? Who created the term liberal media, or who keeps putting it out there, and it's the right? But when they've done, you remember when all that hubbub a few years ago about funding NPR, and they were like, it's just a liberal mouthpiece, and then these independent studies came out, and they were like,
truth has a liberal bias.
Well, I think you can make the argument that NPR radio, it, overall in their programming, definitely skews very far to the left. But PBS, public broadcasting as a whole, is fairly representative. I will continually put out that Frontline is one of the best programs on television.
Agreed.
And encourage anybody who listens to this show to watch it every single week because they're doing it right.
I think NPR, I believe the studies came out and said that NPR was not biased, and I do think it appeals more to liberals.
Did Harvard people write that study? Because I mean, they're bad, at least in Boston. Maybe in other parts of the country, they're shooting more down the middle. But in Boston, they're bad.
But, you know, there's a big difference between researching a piece and then going out and speaking your mind. You know, people have lost the ability to discern between an actual news piece and an opinion piece.
Right.
And that's pretty much across the board.
Well, it's because very few outlets still present news as news. The news is embedded with commentary almost everywhere, whether it's the clickbait headline and the clickbait first paragraph, right, or it's some reporter putting snarky comments in at the end of every sentence. You have to go to straight Associated Press or straight Reuters.
Absolutely.
And even Reuters has been getting bad lately. Everyone is doing it. That's not journalism.
But don't you think that's been because of the destruction of journalism as a profession? Not intentionally, but blogging, people just put their opinions out there. They're amateur.
This is a big part of the problem. This is a very big part
of
the problem.
But it's also democratization. People get to put their word out there, but not all opinions are created equal. Some people.
Well, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts.
Well, not all opinions. I think a better way to put it is to say not all opinions get eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
And the opinions of the left get a lot of eyeballs online.
So do the opinions on the right. I mean, a lot of people read Drudge.
But Drudge isn't in the same category as CNN, as Gawker Media, as The Daily Beast, as Heat Street, as Politico, as any of the, and I'll take Politico off that list because they try to be center. They try to be objective over there at least.
Well, I mean, they at least source their sources. You
correct.
Know? They give you other information to look at to back up why they've formed this opinion. You don't get that on a lot of the right wing stuff. You just don't.
What Matt Drudge is doing is he's curating a perspective.
Well, yeah, that's true. So is Breitbart.
The editorial, but Breitbart takes it a step farther because they're actually writing stuff that fits that wacky narrative.
I don't know. I see
Drudge is just a mouthpiece for that. It's the same thing with, I wish he would stop with Breitbart. I wish he would stop with Alex Jones. I go nuts every time I see an Alex Jones link on that site.
I wish, there have been a couple of times where they've taken you know, they've wholesale lifted articles from The Onion and Hard Times and presented it as, oh my God, look what's going on here.
I know. And CNN's been burned on that too.
Not as much as Drudge has, I gotta say.
Pretty much. Everybody's been burned at one time or another.
Or several times on a fairly regular basis. Yeah. I mean, you gotta pick your battles, man.
I'm gonna give everybody a pass on that because there's so much stuff floating around out there. There are reasons why that happens. It's a lack of oversight in the newsroom. It's a desire to be first.
A huge
lack. I gotta get the eyeballs before everybody else does. But because the left-leaning voices are getting the clicks, and I have watched this happen over the last 3 years, that perspective has spilled out from the sites like Gawker and the Huffington Post. The Huffington Post is really the biggest contributor to this problem. It has spilled over first into the online divisions of CNN and USA Today and ABC and other networks. CBS, I think, is still shooting down the middle. They're one of the few. They're in third place in the ratings, by the way. And it spilled from the websites into the newsrooms for broadcast.
Well, I think it's had a huge impact on CNN.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when CNN was the source of impartial cable news. Not anymore. I mean, let's forget about the whole news aspect of it. It's become almost completely viewer driven.
It's been interesting to see in this election cycle CNN moving way further to the left, even though they still have conservative panelists there.
Yeah,
they have them there to laugh at.
There's a lot to laugh at this time around. Last time around, they were very much in the tank with Mitt Romney. They were big supporters of Mitt Romney.
Meanwhile, MSNBC is moving toward the center. Yes, you still have Rachel Maddow doing what she does.
Yeah.
But you've also got Lawrence O'Donnell's back over there now.
Lawrence O'Donnell's been there for years.
You've got Brian Williams on doing whatever he's doing at 11 o'clock at night. And the tone of their coverage has actually become much more balanced than it was.
A little bit.
And they're now moving up in the ratings and CNN is going down. So it's been interesting to see that shift take place.
Well, I also think that MSNBC has been a lot better at getting people to stop screaming over one another. Oh. CNN has failed miserably this election cycle.
I watched Don Lemon now just to see it. I tune it in and I'm just like, when's Corey Lewandowski coming out so everyone can start screaming?
It's a train wreck.
And that idiot weasel-faced reporter they got sitting next to Lewandowski, who I just want to punch every time he opens his mouth. He's that guy that will not shut up about how he's right on everything at a party.
But, you know, these people get paid a really good salary to go in there and defend all the stupid stuff that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth.
Sure.
They get paid a lot. And so they're not going to back down and say, well, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't have said that. Oh, my gosh. I don't know why I'm supporting this candidate. I'm just going to go home now because they're not going to get a paycheck.
I just like it when they all
but
start
screaming.
We're
not going to get the news if we're all talking over each other.
Not going to get anything but a bunch of people talking over each other.
There's no news. There's no news. No issues have been harmed in the making of this election.
No issues have been raised in the making of this
which
election.
Which is stunning. It's like, do you want to vote for the guy that grabs pussy, or do you want to vote for the guy, or do you want to vote for the woman that lets state secrets go on Yahoo? Your choice. That's what this election has come down to.
It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Meanwhile, some poor schmuck in downtown Atlanta and some poor schmuck out in the burbs in Ohio doesn't have a job and is trying to figure out which one of these candidates might actually help him get a job and has no idea because nobody's talked about a jobs plan. Nobody's talked about a tax plan. Trump's going to throw all the immigrants out of the country, so he says. Hillary's going to make college free for everybody. Neither one of those things is going to happen. Neither one of those things is going to happen.
No, we can't pay for either one of those things.
Maybe this will contribute to America's feelings of media bias because CNN announced that it had permanently ended its relationship with contributor and interim Democratic National Committee Chair Donna Brazile on October 14th after new hacked emails showed that Brazile had shared questions with Hillary Clinton ahead of a town hall meeting and a debate. On Tuesday, CNN President Jeff Zucker called Brazile, quote, unethical and disgusting at an editorial meeting. Zucker also said, quote, I have no tolerance for her behavior or that kind of behavior, end quote. CNN has denied that the leaked questions came from their network, pointing a finger at TV One host Roland Martin, who co-moderated the March presidential debate. Something just broke on this just before we went on the air. Someone, I think it's the Daily Caller, reached out to the two women who asked those questions and asked if they had spoken to Donna Brazile, because this has been CNN's angle is, oh, they met her at a charity event and told her about the questions. Neither one of those women attended the charity event. Both of those women did share their questions with one of Anderson Cooper's producers. So it now looks like, without CNN's knowledge, Anderson Cooper's producer handed these questions to Donna Brazile, who then forwarded them along to Hillary Clinton. Can we all agree that this is a huge, huge, huge breach of journalistic ethics?
Yes. However, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to sing to Donna, like, oh, Donna, that you know that song.
Yes.
That's it.
Well, I have to put this out there. Now, obviously, I haven't read the article because it's something relatively new.
Yeah, it literally broke at like 6:30. So,
but when people are doing debate, when candidates are doing debate prep, generally speaking, they usually have somebody that kind of stands in and has all the research to become the opponent.
Right.
And the questions that they ask are questions that are most likely to be asked. It's like when you take the PSATs.
Right.
You know, you've got these questions that are most likely going to be asked and the responses that are most likely going to be done. Is it even remotely possible that these questions got passed along as potential questions that might get asked at a public candidate forum in means of debate? Now, we also know that Donald Trump has done very little debate prep because he's bragged about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So he has no idea what debate prep is.
And he's also claimed that Clinton has did too much debate
prep. I think he refers to it as the prep.
The prep.
Like the cyber.
Like the cyber.
The cyber.
But I mean, you know, I can't answer to what Donna Brazile has done, because I don't know for sure.
Well, she handed questions verbatim to Hillary Clinton. I mean, we have the WikiLeaks emails that prove that.
What, which were the questions?
One of them was they were questions from two women from, or actually one of them was a question from a woman from Flint, Michigan, about the water crisis. Mm-hmm. The other one was a question about the death penalty. That came from a man at the Democratic debate in March. Huh. And it was a fairly involved question with statistics and stuff thrown into it. The question basically was, do you support the death penalty? And the way the question appeared on the air and the way the question appeared in the email were almost identical. This is not a question that anybody is going to make up on the spot. So clearly, Donna Brazile had early access to the questions, and clearly Donna Brazile was funneling that to Hillary Clinton. We don't know if she shared them with the Sanders campaign as well. I'm guessing, since she is now the temporary DNC chair, she did not share them with the Sanders campaign, mm-hmm. because she would not have been rewarded if she had not shared them with the Sanders campaign.
Right.
Bad luck.
Pretty unethical.
Very bad. Yeah.
But
can you blame Clinton for using that if it gets passed along? I mean, how do you not look at something like that? Also unethical, but
did she do it knowing that these were questions that were legitimate questions being passed on to her,
right.
that she's not supposed to see? And secondly, I'm guessing whether she had those questions or not, she actually had answers to them that made sense.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, Hillary's a nasty woman.
Sure. Well, Hillary is. Her position on the death penalty is a little bit vague. So that's the sort of question that you want in advance. And Donna Brazile actually sent a note along with that question saying, concerned about HRC's reaction to this. You know, that if she got ambushed with this, she might come out and say, yeah, I support the death penalty. Whereas if you know it's coming ahead of time, you could say, oh, the death penalty. Let me talk about farm jobs, which is the way that she doesn't answer questions. It's the way they all don't answer questions.
Right, true that.
Unless you're Donald Trump and you start talking about the cyber, whatever the cyber happens to be.
I think Anthony Weiner is an expert on that.
Bigly cyber.
Big league. This is...
We settled that debate, didn't we?
This is a big deal. This is a very big deal, because this is one of those things that Americans look at and they may not fully understand what happened here, but they understand that it involves corruption, and they understand that it should not have happened.
Well, that would be the fault of the DNC, not of Hillary Clinton, per se.
Well, it's the fault of CNN, actually, for hiring Donna Brazile in the first place and for not paying attention to what she was doing. The Bernie supporters, of which, Joel, I believe you were one, are probably livid about this. Right about now.
Living about a bunch of other things that involve Bernie Sanders.
I think Bernie Sanders supporters have moved on, though. Mostly, we've got to deal with the crisis that they've got to deal with the crisis at hand and vote on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't moving on or over this, the repercussions would be felt to this day. And it's kind of died down over the summer in a big way. Because at the end of the day, the Democratic Party has embraced a lot of what Bernie Sanders had on his platform. In fact, they're lifting it wholesale and talking about it as their own, which they should do, because the Democratic platform wasn't as progressive as some of us would like, especially in the light of how centrist Hillary Clinton has been. And
Hillary Clinton is a closet Republican, for those of you who are wondering.
She's a moderate.
She always has been, and so is her husband.
And so is Obama, for that.
Obama's,
I don't know what Obama is, to be honest with you. The guy's all over the boards, okay?
But my point is that I think the Sanders people have gotten over it because they just don't want Trump.
Right.
Oh, look, none of this is going to flip anybody who's a Democrat to vote for Trump. There's no zero chance of that happening. But the broader question is, what happens to CNN when this thing is over? Because this
Trump
is
TV.
This is a tough one to come back from. This is a major hit on your credibility. And as we talked about earlier, the American people already think you're in the bag for Hillary Clinton. So now, here's one of your commentators handing questions to her that apparently were sourced by somebody on your staff while you're busy lying about it and saying, we think this happened and we think that happened. Why? Because everybody in the newsroom knows this was a colossal mistake. All right? What I quoted from Jeff Zucker, I'm sure were the nicer things that he had to say during that editorial call on Tuesday.
Right.
I would expect, having been in newsrooms, a nonstop stream of unpublishable and unspeakable words coming out of his mouth over this situation.
You expect some heads are going to roll.
The heads have already rolled because they're done with Donna Brazile.
Right.
But if somebody in that newsroom actually gave her the questions, who is a CNN employee, we're in a whole different dimension here. Now we're talking about actual hands-on media collusion with the presidential candidate.
So how do you see this moving forward, though?
I don't know. It's going to be investigated. And who knows how far that investigation is going to go, because CNN is going to deny everything, and nobody ever likes investigating news organizations because everybody starts throwing around the First Amendment, even though it doesn't apply in a situation like this.
It doesn't, yeah.
CNN is going to take a hit. And the media is going to take a hit. And this is the real problem that America has coming out of this election. Because whoever wins next Tuesday, we've got to figure out a way to all get on the same page once the people who support Donald Trump stop running out of the woods and shooting at people.
Right.
Not that they're going to be running out of the woods and shooting at people.
No, they're going to be blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
We're all white.
I'm kidding. I don't think any of that's going to happen at all. But we need a way to get this country back together, okay? Hillary Clinton has a serious credibility problem with the American people. We know this.
But
CNN now has a huge credibility problem with the American people. If you take our presidents and our media out of the equation, who is left to try and get us all back on the same page?
Nobody.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the big picture,
Trump isn't going to do that.
No.
But, you know, the one thing that we could see, and this would be a historic thing, would be for CNN to, you know, either post something online or post something at the top of their most watched program and say, look, we messed up. Mea culpa. This is what happened. This is what we're going to do to make it right. And move on. I mean, there are a couple of people whose careers ended as that. But as you said, Brian Williams is now back on TV.
Right.
Yeah, well, Brian Williams lied to the American people repeatedly, and he's back on TV, which tells
but
you...
But look how long it took him to do that.
I know, but what does that tell you? It tells you that, as far as the networks are concerned, the ratings are more important than their integrity. Brian Williams should not be working in a newsroom anywhere.
I think they've let him out of the doghouse, if nothing else. I think it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, you've learned your lesson. Now we're going to give you a half an hour after Lawrence O'Donnell.
He's been exiled to MSNBC, which is certainly a step down. But this is all done with the idea that we're going to get you back on. Don't worry. Give it a little time. We'll have you back on the NBC Nightly News.
Yeah. And Dan Rather on Decades.
We're not... Yeah, Dan Rather. There's another guy who blew his credibility.
Mike Barnicle is... back on, what's that show?
The Morning Joe.
Thank you.
But plagiarism and...
No, these are all very, very, very bad things for the Fourth Estate, though.
In defense of Barnicle, plagiarism is a lesser offense. Stealing somebody else's work is a lesser offense than flat out lying to people.
It's also, plagiarism is also lying to people.
But plagiarism is being lazy.
It's
cheating. But there's a difference between that and influencing the outcome of the presidential selection process, which is what CNN has done.
Here's the thing. We'll see if this becomes a big media story. I think CNN should apologize, but they're not going to. And we'll see if other media outlets are going to elevate this story. Because honestly, I think the American people are going to move on. They're going to move on.
The media being what it is, the news business being what it is, I believe once this election is over, and MSNBC and Fox News find themselves with hours to fill, they're going to make sure the CNN thing stays on the front page. They're going to be on it hard. And by the way, CNN would have done the right thing back in 2012 if they'd fired Candy Crowley.
Well, yeah.
For misstating facts on the air in support of Barack Obama against Mitt Romney. Because she was incorrect and she was out of line putting those facts out there as a moderator.
I don't disagree. However, I will add that nobody at Fox has been fired for anything.
No, but that's...
I mean, we had
Rush Limbaugh just makes things up.
we had somebody on Fox during the first Obama campaign talking about hoping that he gets shot.
Right.
And then of course gave the old I'm sorry if what I said offended anyone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if what I said offended you.
That's not but Fox is a news program and it's entertainment.
And Sean Hannity makes stuff up on an hourly basis. I mean, come on. Nobody from Fox has ever been fired for anything that they've said.
But nobody from Fox has ever directly influenced the outcome of a presidential debate or a presidential election either.
Are you sure? Do you remember what happened when Karl Rove was doing the election coverage and wanted to go into the statistics room because he'd spent $300 million on making sure that Romney won and he didn't, and he couldn't believe, oh my God, the numbers must be wrong, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Come on, we all saw that. And if that's not like a blatant display of somebody trying to influence an election on national television, no less.
But that's
after
the votes have been cast. I mean, that's election night.
Yeah, but you can't compare the two as different things. They're both the same.
Well, I can if you're giving one candidate a clear advantage over another in a debate.
And Fox News has been doing that since day one.
Fox News shills to the choir is the best way of putting it. Really, nothing that they put forward ever makes it much past Fox News.
Oh, that's...
And you can sort of...
You could say that about all the news organizations, that they're kind of preaching to their own individual choirs.
No, because if you're the New York Times, you're setting the agenda for everybody else. If you're CNN, to a large extent, what you report is going to be picked up by everybody else. Fox exists over in its own little bubble.
All right,
go take a look at, you know, the online, look at the blogs out there and see how many people are quoting Fox. Unless they're making fun of them, they're not quoting Fox.
Well, you know, some of them are quoting Hannity, some of them are quoting O'Reilly, some of them were quoting Glenn Beck when he was there.
But mostly to say, look at how stupid this person is.
Well, for every five people that you say, oh, look at this guy and how stupid, you got another five guys going, whoa, we got to go kill some Democrats.
Yeah, but those people are going to believe that no matter who says it.
True that.
And
everything that you said could be true of CNN as well.
Honestly, I think we're better in a world where more people watch Fox News than Alex Jones.
Good point.
Because
we can all agree on that.
Because Fox is moderate compared to that. We have a caller on the line.
Oh boy!
It is our missing crazy gun lady, Lisa Nichols. Lisa Nichols, how are you doing tonight?
How's the venison up there?
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
I had to call in and say, the minute the plane landed, I just got back to Boston. I did just come from Orlando, and Trump's plane was there. He's apparently doing some campaigning, trying to get some ground on Clinton, so we did see his plane. But I wanted to say, Mariel and Joel, you guys are doing an amazing job, and thank you for taking my place.
It took two of us to replace you.
It's true. It's hard.
Yeah. I'm going easy.
I just wanted to comment on the whole Donna Brazile, because I've been following it since I've been away, and I do believe that WikiLeaks is going to drop a huge bomb either on Thursday or Friday this week, and I think we're just leading up to it. And whether the polls are correct or not, you've been noticing it in some of the new polls that are coming out, that the margins are getting a little bit closer. So we'll see what happens.
There are a lot of shoes on this political centipede.
Yeah, so November surprise is what Lisa predicts.
They may be within the margin of error of voter fraud. That's the thing that we have to keep in mind in all of this.
You have to also take into account a lot of people this year are voting early.
Exactly.
I mean, we've been seeing people going out in mass amounts and already sending in their ballots.
It's you freaky millennial people.
I don't know.
Why can't you freaky millennial people vote on election day like everybody always has?
You know what? I go for just the I voted sticker. I'm happy, you know. So I am going on Tuesday.
I go for the bake sale.
They used to have a bake sale at my polling place.
Oh my God! I
new one doesn't have that.
I got this big loaf of banana nut bread last time. Actually, it was banana bread, because who ruins banana bread with nuts?
That's true.
Just really.
All right.
But I just wanted to say hi, and then you guys are doing amazing, and I will see you next week. Well, Derek, I won't see you, but I will be running the show. All of our viewers may be cheering at this moment.
Help us all.
But I will be with Mariel and Joel.
Nice.
All three of us together again for the first time.
Oh, dear God. All right.
Yes. Lisa, and then, Derek, I do have a surprise for you from Disney, so I will bring that when I see you next.
It's a November surprise.
You should have brought me some stuff from the Donald Trump plane. All right, you have a great night and enjoy.
I love you guys all. Thank you so much.
Enjoy your time off. Lisa Nichols, she will be with us next.
Oh, it's too bad. I wanted to ask her if the Donald Trump plane had M&Ms with Donald Trump's face on them.
I'll bet you anything it
does. I bet you they do.
All right, it is 7:57 WMFO Medford. Let's see if we can close out the rest of this news. You guys aren't going to care about this one at all. In sports news, the NCAA came under fire or comes.
Taxi.
The NCAA comes under fire this weekend in One and Done, a Showtime documentary that follows Philadelphia 76ers rookie Ben Simmons through his single required year at LSU to gain NBA eligibility. Simmons calls requirement to attend class a waste of time, complains that players are not paid, and also discusses the free gifts offered to star players, which he claims included a Rolls Royce. In one scene where Simmons visits a shoe store, he claims that the salesman would let him take anything he wanted if he asked. Accepting gifts from schools or boosters is prohibited under NCAA rules.
I care a little bit about this issue, but not as much as you think.
Yeah, this is whatever Showtime is going to have on this weekend is not going to paint the NCAA in a kind light. The rule in the NBA, if you want to be drafted, you have to spend 1 year in college. Used to be you could go straight from high school into the NBA. They said no more of that.
Yeah, Kobe did that.
You got to spend a year in college, and here we have this kid. He's an Australian. He is one of the best basketball players on the planet at his age. And didn't want to go to college, didn't go to class, stayed in class long enough to get like a C average, didn't even go to class the second semester. And he's like, I'm just here because they say I have to be. And meanwhile, everybody's throwing free stuff at him. And he's upset that he's not making any money, which, as I've brought up on this show many times,
the NCAA makes a lot of money off these kids.
The NCAA, the Big Ten, makes $450 million a year on college athletics.
Nobody's ever given me a Rolls Royce for being in marching band.
Now, my feeling on it is these kids should not be paid. All right, you're a college student. You are not a professional athlete. These schools are not running professional sports leagues. They are colleges. However, If a college is going to use your name and likeness, you should be compensated for that.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly agreed.
Well, I mean, compensation doesn't necessarily mean cash in pocket. It could mean a dorm that's all tricked out.
Money. If somebody is making money off of your name and your picture in any other walk of life, Joel, you're going to get...
They're putting these kids in video games.
You're going to get a piece of it.
I get that. But when I was in school and I got hired to do stuff as a student, I was given a gift certificate or some kind of covered expenses, maybe a little gift. It was never cash.
I was given work study. It was cash.